Welcome to a WLRN News special. Today, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, The Journey After Tragedy. I'm Tom Hudson.
I'm Katie Spitalski. Yesterday was graduation day for more than 400 Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Eagles, but it was unlike any graduation in America. Just 3.5 months ago, a mass shooter killed 17 people, including four in the senior class, Nicholas Dworet, Meadow Pollock, Joaquin Oliver, and Carmen Shentrup.
You know, high school graduation is a moment of reflection and anticipation. It is one of life's boundaries, a demarcation point of leaving one phase, childhood, and entering another, adulthood. It's the recognition of accomplishment and capability. It's also the acceptance of possibility of the future. For Marjorie Stoneman Douglas graduates, their parents, and loved ones, this graduation marks the end of a school year with untold sadness, but also with unforeseen pride. With us now are two parents of new graduates of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High, Roberto Munoz and Jeff Turner. Gentlemen, welcome to WLRN. Congratulations to both of you, your students, and your families. Roberto, tell us about graduation yesterday.
Well, it was intense. It was long, at 764 students, so it took a while to go through all the names. It was also very emotional. They gave some posthumous degrees to the students who were no longer there. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the audience during that moment. As you say, it was a proud moment for us. Time to move on and leave some things behind. And then know that many of these students are carrying many of these things with them in their next journey.
Jeff, how did you feel about the journey yesterday?
I thought it was very well handled. The organization was great. It was very powerful. It was moving. It was emotional. It was just great to see everybody kind of come together. It was nice to see them, you know, grouped into one, you know, just one big family. And then that's kind of how the send off was perfect that way. And I think that's exactly what everybody was hoping for.
Did it have that element of celebration that a high school graduation is supposed to have for a family?
You know what? I think it really did. I mean, I felt like it was, and just the way the families were there and just how many people filled out and just the cheering and the way that everybody supported everybody. I think it was really fantastic.
I think it was too. This is our third child, so it's our third high school graduation. And I would say that they're similar in the sense that you see the students down there all sitting together, and they have all this hope and these dreams in their hearts, and they're reflected in the way they act. So they were celebrating more than the parents probably.
Wow, yeah. And I'm curious too, was there one moment that stuck out to either of you that will stay with you?
Well, I can honestly say that, you know, watching the parents come up and accept, you know, and the friends and family do that, that obviously was a huge moment. And then, of course, you know, the really awesome commencement speech by Jimmy Fallon that nobody even expected. Even Ashley said, you know, Dad, I had no idea. We heard rumors, but we heard rumors about other things during, you know, prom too, and nothing happened there. So it was kind of like those two moments just were like grand, just completely grand.
Same thing here. I think the one more intense for me was seeing the families and friends of those that were not there picking up the diplomas for their loved ones.
Normally in a graduation, it's by alphabetical order. Was it yesterday?
It was, but they separated first the top ranking students.
Okay.
So first they did, I think it was like top 5% of the class. So, and then later they did everybody
else. And the reason why I ask that is as Katie mentioned, the students that were killed on February 14th, you knew when those names were coming up in order.
Actually, they were not named during the calling of all the students. They were done ahead. So there were six posthumous diplomas
right ahead
of everybody else.
And there were two other students who passed away a few years earlier in this class.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what was that moment like, Jeff, for you?
Well, again, it was emotional. I mean, at one point while I was having waterworks going on, I turned behind me and everybody, I mean, you could hear the sniffles. Everybody was sitting there, a lot of claps, you know, people standing up. You know, it was a moving and emotional moment just to see those, you know, families come up and be able to, you know, at least be a part of it and know that in spirit, you know, that their children were there as well. So I think that was important.
And how did you feel looking at your two daughters, you know, thinking of how they're feeling and thinking about what a big moment this is for them? Did that bring up any other emotion?
In my case, like I said, this is my third one. So you're sitting up there in the audience and looking down at them, and there are very different feelings going on between them and us. So on one side, we're hopeful for them. We're a little bit sad that they're leaving home. But for them, it's like the future is opening up to them and come from different perspectives. So seeing her trying to figure out what's going on in her mind and her heart was the gift for me.
Jeff, how did you talk about graduation before the ceremony?
I told her that everything that we had to endure from the time of February 14th on was just stay focused. Make sure you don't lose your focus. Keep your, you know, you still have a goal. You still have 4 months to go. We still have a lot of to accomplish, and don't lose track of that. And then getting to that point where we knew we were going in there that day was kind of like, you did it. You know, you stayed focused. You did what you needed to do. And it was fantastic when she got in. It wasn't even really hitting her until we actually got in there. And then she was there and she, you know, she gets that giddy, high pitched excitement in her voice. And it was kind of nice. So it's like, all right, cool. Now she's starting to feel what I've been feeling for the last couple of weeks.
How incredibly difficult was it to remain focused in the last 4 months, though, for you as a parent?
It was tough. There were struggles. There were moments, you know, breakdowns. There were, you know, remembering. Feeling there were a lot of issues, and I told her, you know, you call, we talk, no matter what, let's always talk about it if you have to, you know. And it, there were so many wonderful resources that were put on the campus for the you know, students to go to and talk to people too if they needed to get them out of there, because obviously, you know, she also had, you know, classes with a couple of the students as well, and they were losing their focus because they were sitting in there and looking at these empty seats. So it was like, look, you still have a battle, you still have to get through, and that's staying focused, because you are going to be going on, you have to make sure you maintain that focus. And that's where we went with it. So,
and while Roberto and Jeff experienced, you know, the end of your journey at Marjory Stoneman Douglas, two other parents are just beginning theirs. Pam Miller, your daughter Alexis is an incoming freshman, and Kelly Salonia, your daughter Tierney is also an incoming freshman.
Yes.
Tell us, how has making that decision to go to Marjory Stoneman, Kelly, affected your relationship with your child? How are you talking about this?
It's been a process, and we went through at first like, no, we're not going there. That was our first reaction, knee-jerk reaction. My daughter happened to be, West Glades, for those who don't know, is connected literally by a football field, you know, so my daughter happened to be outside, and she heard gunshots that day. She was in her environmental science class. So there was that fear, you know, because they were right there. But ultimately the decision to go was because these are the people who understand what they went through. She talks to friends at other schools and they don't get it. You know, they weren't there, they weren't in the trenches. So it is this real, like they were saying, feeling of community. And it's really brought this bond with everybody, because these are the people who understand what you went through.
Pam, how about for you?
I don't think mine was such a knee-jerk reaction. I first always thought that she was going to go to Stoneman Douglas. And then after a few weeks, you know, you hear a lot of rumors and everything, and I spoke to my husband and made the decision, okay, we need to look at other schools. We did look to see if we can get on, you know, the waiting list for another school. Then I did go to a private school to investigate a private school, then going to a, you know, moving. We decided my daughter...
Picking up and moving.
Picking
out
up
of
and
district.
Moving. Yes. Mm. Just because of you hear a lot of rumors. I did go to a PTA meeting to talk to the principal to find out a little more information, because you do hear rumors going around. Once my daughter heard that we were going to possibly move, she was not for that at all. She wanted to stay in Stoneman Douglas. She wanted to go to Stoneman Douglas. Her friends were going there. So we had to take that into consideration. So we decided that we were definitely going to stay put. And now she is definitely going to be going there. And she's excited, and she's going to look forward to it. She, you know, she has her friends that understand, but it is still unfamiliar to the ninth grader, because they just hear, they hear things.
I'm wondering what role your eighth grade daughters played in making the decision that both of you made as parents. I mean, ultimately, it's a combination decision. As the kids are growing up, you want to have them participate in big decisions. But as that dialogue continued, Kelly, with your daughter, what role would you say today she played in making the decision to attend Marjory Stoneman as the class of 2022?
It was a big part of that was her decision. She's the one who has to be there. If she was not comfortable and, like you said, couldn't focus because of, you know, all these external factors, then she wasn't going to go. But ultimately, she was the one who decided that this is where my friends are. These are my people that understand. And so she was a very big part of that. Like, same with Pam. We did research other schools and kind of weighed the options first. But ultimately, she's the one that has to be there. So it was her.
I think that's the same thing. Definitely, I think My daughter Alexis has definitely made the ultimate decision for us. We felt comfortable. We also have two more years coming into another. My son will also be attending there. He's a little more flexible than my daughter is. But I think for her, it was important that she didn't want to move, and I think we needed to take that into consideration and not to go to a different school. Not only that, because it is a big deal for the whole family to move for that. And we have to make our kids happy, and that's what made her happy, is to stay there.
Well, it sounds like this was a long process for you guys as a family, because, you know, as a parent, you're researching other schools and you're worried, but then you have the pushback process from your own children and trying to balance safety with, you know, what your child wants. It sounds like that's a long process for a whole family to go through.
It is.
And I don't think it was so much the safety. I think we're all concerned. Safety is no matter what school you go to now. In fact, when you send a child to the mall now, you get nervous now also. I think it was more as far as myself, I was a little nervous for the atmosphere and how it's going to affect her, the teaching and you're a building short now. So where are all the children going to go? That was a big deal also. So I think there was more than just the safety, and also how the feel of the school, you know, because they are coming. They don't have that same sense of, togetherness, I guess you would say, you know, that they're together because they're the ninth graders. They weren't in the school when the tragedy occurred. So I think it was like a combination.
You know, Pam and Kelly, you talk about doing a lot of family talk, a lot of community talk, reaching out to the PTA, talking to the principal. For Roberto and for Jeff, I'm wondering, as you experienced this journey over the last 3.5 months, directly as the parents of graduating seniors at Marjory Stoneman, how has it affected your social network, the network of parents that you have interacted with? Has that changed remarkably, Roberto?
For us, not too much. We're friends with many people from the community anyway, so it happened to them too. This is not something that you bring up in conversation, so those who don't know, don't know. And it's funny, I was in a business trip in Panama 2 weeks ago, and they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "From Florida." "What part in Florida?" And I said, "Parkland." And their eyebrows went up, and, "Wow, that happened." And I said, "Well, yeah." Socially wise, it happened to everyone at once. So it's not like we were the odd ones in the group.
Yeah, I think for me as well, you know, I having to deal with this as well. I write a weekly blog, so I blogged and I shared my blog post on Facebook with people so that they can actually understand the experience rather than getting blown up on my social media by everybody like, "Were you there? Was that?" So I just did that. And
did you do that before February 14th?
Yes.
So that's been a practice of yours.
It's been a practice of mine for a couple of years, and I thought it was also good therapy for me as well, and it also helped me to cope with the situation and what my daughter was going through and what her mother was going through. And then of course all the other, you know, the victims and the victims' families, and just people had a lot of questions. And I thought that it was just going to be a lot easier to put that out there and then just give the details and how I was feeling, what we were going through. And I think it helped them open up a lot of eyes, and it happened to actually be one of my most read blog posts out of every one of them. I think I had a little over 1,200 or 1,300 people read it. And it was good because it kind of gives everybody else, you know, "Hey, listen, I saw what happened with you. I want to see if there's something we can make movements and, you know, friends in New Jersey and North Carolina and, you know, all over." And they were like, "We want to make sure that our kids are safe too." And then I would get them calling and asking for advice. "Well, how do you feel if you start getting anxiety about this or that?" And I said, "Well, you have to stay calm. You have to, you know," and it's just, you're never going to have really the right answer because it's never going to take that out of the parents. But I think it's nice just to let, you know, them know if they do have questions or whatnot, then I have no problem talking about an answer because it helps me out. And it also helps me continue to, you know, remember that, you know, these are going to be parents too. They're going to be feeling the same way. And this wasn't just a, you know, one incident for a little, you know, piece. This went national. So everybody's feeling that way now about it, you know, and that's where all the movements and everything came from.
It sounds like you really became a lot of other parents' social network.
I did. I actually did. And again, you know, it was nice for them. So many people also shared my blog post to other people to let them know, "Hey, you know, what's going on, what's happening," and they could actually get a little taste or see, you know, through the eyes of me. And it was nice that, you know, they were actually able to do that as well too. So
Jeff Turner is one of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas fathers along with us here at WLRN. His daughter graduated yesterday. Roberto Munoz's daughter graduated yesterday as well. Class of 2018 of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas Eagles. Pam Miller and Kelly Salonia are also along with us. They are mothers of two daughters of incoming freshmen of the class of 2022. As our special program here on WLRN will continue, coming up, the journey of one Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Sr. since the shooting. That's next.
Welcome back to WLRN's news special, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, The Journey After Tragedy. I'm Katie Spitalski.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Every high school graduation is a triumph in its own way, a mix of beginnings and endings. There's another story now that belongs to the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School class of 2018, The Journey That Comes After Tragedy. Lenore Munoz is one of the seniors who graduated yesterday. For the past few months, she's been carrying a recorder, keeping an audio diary.
So, my name's Lenore. That's spelt L-E-O-N-O-R, last name M-U-N-O-Z. I've said that so many times over the last couple of weeks. I've been doing so many interviews, so many rallies, meetings. Today, it's Wednesday the 21st of March. It's a couple days before the march. I should probably be packing right now. I'm not going to D.C., but I'm going to be in Boston instead. My sister, Becca, she goes to Northeastern, and she's helping organize the march there, which is really cool. And if I'm not talking to people planning for this march, I'm breaking down crying. On Friday, the Friday after it happened, I went to visit my friend. The Fellowship of the Ring was on Netflix, so she just put it on. Which, you know, meant a lot to me because I know that this isn't really her favorite. It seemed kind of like our story. I mean, the Hobbits, they started off in the Shire. This good, safe, if a little boring, place. Which, to me, seemed a lot like Parkland. We call it Parkland, or it's safe after Darkland. Anyways, the Hobbits...
One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them.
The One Ring tempts everybody.
One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness, find them.
At the moment that I was watching it, it seemed like the ring was these weapons, these high caliber weapons like the AR-15. There's just so much power. You can't do good with that. When you read The Lord of the Rings at the end, the Shire is saved, but it can't go through all that evil and stay exactly the same. Frodo says to Sam,
"We set out to save the Shire, Sam."
The Shire was saved.
And it has been saved.
But not for me.
But not for me.
I woke up last night, in the middle of the night, with the weirdest feeling. Like, I couldn't move. I don't know, sleep paralysis or whatever. I was so dizzy. It was like the dizziness was in my arms. And I don't know, just kind of accepted and went back to sleep because at that point, like this is the least of my problems. I want to protect all my friends. I can't stop bullets midair. I can't stop depression. I can't stop PTSD. I'm just so scared. So today's Thursday, March 22nd. Tomorrow, me and my family leave for Boston. We're gonna be at the March for Our Lives. Here I am in the car going to my therapist appointment. I'm in the car, my mom is driving. How do you feel about all this?
A little apprehensive. I want to be ready and supportive of all of you, but at the same time, it scares me. I feel so proud of both you and Rebecca.
I know that a lot of people haven't been doing well. There's counselors at the school, but still a lot of people are struggling with newfound PTSD and depression. How can you describe your feelings about this?
That is what worries me most. And I am very grateful of all the resources that we've had. I am grateful for the therapy dogs. And even for the therapy goat.
On the first day that we went back, there were, I think, a horse, two ponies, the therapy goat, which got a lot of laughs.
But I do think that the students need to talk.
So weird, like, I'm used to being different. I'm gay Catholic, a white Mexican, but I don't want this to be the thing that makes me different. I'm part of the GSA, the Gay Straight Alliance, at my school, and I'm the vice president. I like to say that I'm vice president of the gays. Anyways, our club was organizing an event for Valentine's Day. Fake marriage certificates, and people could sign them, get fake married to their friends. The administration didn't want the word marriage to be used in a school setting. So instead we changed it to proclamation of love. And I married like all my friends, basically. And if someone didn't have someone to marry, I would marry them. I didn't realize how many kids were in the school until I saw them all running for their lives out of there. I did not know their names. I did not know anything about them, but I saw them at lunch and I married them and their friends. And that, I just saw them. I was like, no, this is not okay. This is not okay. I knew Carmen Shenshup since middle school. I wasn't amazing friends with her, but I've been parties with her. We had a couple group projects together. She was supposed to be the person who, like, graduated from UF, went to Harvard Med, became a cardiologist and a neuroscientist all at once, found the cure to cancer, all of that. And out of all the people I've cried for, I haven't cried for her because it doesn't feel real. She should still be in my class. She should still be here. I think I'm going to stop for now. Today is Friday, March 23rd, a day before the march. Wow. I am currently in the hotel room with my family. My sister's in the bathroom. She just changed into her MSD Strong shirt that we brought for her. She looks really good in it.
Go Bucks! Buck pride.
My sister didn't actually go to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. She went to Deerfield Beach High. Fun little rivalry there.
I would wear an MSD shirt if it wasn't for this. I feel weird saying.
No, it's real. Like, I wish I could still make fun of my school.
I know.
Like, there's this thing that they always end the morning announcements with. Be positive, be passionate, be proud to be an Eagle. Like, and normally I would say that with them, just kind of mockingly. And now I can. That feels so awkward.
I can't make fun of Parkland kids anymore.
Friday, March 23rd. It is currently 9:13 at night. Oh God, wow. It's been a long day. I don't know if this is something that my underdeveloped teenage brain would normally be feeling this, or if it's because I went through something traumatic and the slightest thing can just send me to like extreme stress mode. Something banging, like a door closing, a door opening, knocking, a pop. My family and I, we went to go eat. It probably wasn't a good idea to go to a lobster place because you have to crack the lobster. And now I couldn't exactly tell my parents, like, hey, don't eat the lobster that you just paid a lot of money for. Saturday, March 24th. Oh my God, it's here. It's here. Oh my God. Right now, we're in Madison Park High School. The March for Lives Boston is going to start here. Oh my God, it's happening. I'm so excited.
Enough is enough! Enough is enough! Enough is enough!
So now I would like to welcome to the stage Leonor Munoz, a current student and senior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And her sister and my new very good friend, Becca.
We want to tell you about February 14th, 2018. I remember my sister telling me that her club was giving out pretend marriage certificates during lunch for Valentine's Day. She was looking forward to a day full of love and friendship.
I remember fourth period. I was tired but happy after my lunch event. I remember walking outside because of the fire drill. I remember the absolute terror of being outside hearing code red, run! I remember needing to tell my family that I was alive and barely being able to send the text because I was in real danger. And they couldn't stop it or help me.
I remember receiving a text from my younger sister saying, I'm safe, code red, school shooter, do not call.
I remember collapsing the next day because I got up and had to remember those who never did. I remember hearing my dad knock on my door the next day and falling apart because I thought it was happening again. My trauma isn't going away.
And neither are we.
Not one more. Not one more. Not one more. Not one more. Not one more.
I just did my speech. I cried. I cried more.
So let's give it up for TMP.
Oh my God, there's so many people. Wow. This is insane. But know things are happening. Today is Sunday, March 25th, the day after the march. I looked at a picture later and we shut down Boston. Like, just shut it down. There are so many people. It makes sense because we're not marching against the Second Amendment, we're marching for our lives. That's what we are marching for, not dying. My favorite thing that we sang, it was a marching song. It started off, "Justice, my friend, you will not walk alone. We will walk with you and make your spirit strong." And we would replace saying justice with Parkland, my friend, Newtown, my friend, Columbine, my friend. A lot of the march, we were recognizing that we were building off of other movements, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Civil Rights movement, the If Not Now movement. Gun violence did not start February 14th, 2018. We knew we were making history. Now we vote. Today is May 4th. It's lunchtime. I should probably be in the lunch area, like in the courtyard, but I don't really like being around large groups of people that much. Right now I'm just sitting in Marjorie's garden. It's this like beautiful little garden area on like the outskirts of school. It's just a really nice, peaceful place to be. Today is May 4th, Star Wars Day. No, May the 4th be with you and all that. Carmen loved Star Wars. And, yesterday I started crying and my friend texts me. She's like, hey, I miss her. We both kind of knew who we were talking about. She was friends with Gina Montalto. I was like, yeah, I feel that a lot. And just, it was awful, it was heartbreaking, but it was really nice. Just talking about our friends. Right now I'm reading Lord of the Rings. Frodo, Sam, Merry, Pippin, they have to keep running and hiding and fighting, trying to convince people to help them, and they don't get a break. But we, as the reader, do. But I'm not the reader anymore.
Wednesday, May 30th. Went there for the last time today to school to pick up my cap and gown. And, you know, I brought my yearbook so that anyone who missed a chance could sign. I have the yearbook right in front of me. 445 pages. And it's like nice paper too. There was a girl who, on February 14th, she gave out one of the proclamations of love to Helena Ramsey. Helena was a sweet girl. She died a hero. And the last thing this girl ever gave to her was one of the proclamations of love that my club was handing out. And my name is on that paper. I witnessed her proclamation to Helena. And she went and found me on my last day. And she was like, hey, I really wanted to like sign your yearbook and like give you a hug because you allowed me to give her something so full of love. And that was the last thing I ever gave her. So thank you for that. I just think that's what I want our legacy to be, one of love, one of coming together, one of taking care of each other. I'm gonna dye my hair teal tomorrow. Carmen's favorite color was teal. Just a streak. Just one streak of teal, like she had. So that when I walk across the stage on Sunday, she can walk with me. We went through this awful thing. And we're hurting from it. But we went through it as one. And we're getting through it as one.
That was Lenore Munoz, a senior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Lenore graduated on Sunday, and she starts college in the fall. She wants to study communications. WLRN's Sammy Mack edited that piece.
Lenore's father, Roberto, is still with us here on WLRN. What do you think of the journey that your daughter shared with us?
It's very moving. Excuse me. Very, very touching. As you can tell, Leonor's personality is to be there for her friends. That's her top priority, to be supportive of everyone around her. And it just shows through everything that she said in that diary.
One of the things she shared with us that struck me is she said, I don't want this thing to be the thing that makes me different. How do you think she has changed? How has the relationship with your daughter been impacted by this?
It's been so much closer now. So, so much closer. I'll share with you something. I have her permission to share this. We went to a group session, a family counseling session, and what the doctor told us is that Leonard is so focused on helping her friends that she's forgetting about herself. So it's going to be difficult when she finishes high school because she's going to be away from those friends. And it's going to be difficult when she goes to college because she's not going to be at home. So try to work with her that she connects with herself during these remaining 3 months of summer. So what we did is this weekend we rented Toy Story 3. Spoiler alert for everyone. But that story is about this kid that turned 17 and is moving to college. And that was the part that made me very emotional during the movie. It's this kid leaving home. He's leaving his childhood behind. He's turning into an adult, and that's exactly what's happening to Leonor. So that, you know, that was my sad moment. She was sad too, but she was not sad because of that. She was sad because there's a point in the movie where the toys get separated from Andy, the boy, and the toys need to get back to Andy. And the only way that they can escape the place where they're at is to go through the garbage chute, which dumps them into the dumpster, to the garbage truck. And they manage to escape the garbage grinder. And they think they're safe. But guess what? Now they're in this huge pit, this funnel, where the garbage pieces are just trickling down. And at the eye of that funnel is the incinerator. And there's no way that they can escape their fate. they're going to be burned. And the scene is the toys just look at each other and they hold hands. Mm-hmm. And Leonor's breaking moment was, and she finally shared this with me on Saturday, was that that's exactly the same thing she did when they were in lockdown in the auditorium. The only thing left to do between her and her friends was to hold hands. So I've been able to connect with Leonor on a very deep level. And I'm very, very blessed and grateful for the opportunity to connect with her before she leaves home.
Well, thank you for sharing part of that journey with us, and for Leonor for sharing part of that journey with us here at WLRN as well. We'd like to continue the conversation with our Marjorie Stoneman Douglas parents here on our special, The Journey After Tragedy, here on WLRN. After this, we'll talk about adapting to the reality and the lasting effect of tragedy. That's next. Welcome back to a WLRN news special today. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, The Journey After Tragedy. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Katie Spitalski. We're talking with four Parkland parents today. Two saw their daughters graduate yesterday as part of the Stoneman Douglas class of 2018. Two will see their daughters become members of the Stoneman Douglas class of 2022 in the fall. Joining us is Roberto Munoz and Jeff Turner. They're fathers of the new Stoneman Douglas graduates. And Pam Miller and Kelly Salonia are mothers of the incoming freshmen. You know, I'd love to ask you, has this, you know, Roberto was just telling us this connection he now has with his daughter on a deepening level. For you looking at your own children, Pam and Kelly, coming into this maturity incubus that is high school, what are you feeling? Are you feeling that same, you know, level of you're going to watch your kids go and grow up a little bit?
I think so. I mean, obviously they're not going into what we call the real world yet, but entering, I think anytime that you enter a new period, a new chapter, as far as going into high school, which is, I look at it as like, this is the last school that we're going to before she does go off to college and be the adult. So it's hard in more than one way. It's hard because before it was like, okay, you're going to be nervous because you're going into ninth grade and you're going to be that freshman. But now it is a little different. It's you're a little nervous now just because, you know, they are exposed to something that they should have never been exposed to. And every day, you know, it is hard. She's going to be entering a school that now has a history, so it's going to be hard in a different way.
Yeah, it really has brought us together as well. There has been something positive that's come out of it. There's been so many opportunities to get involved, you know, like with the March for Our Lives Parkland or other fundraisers and things like that, and we like doing that together because it's given us a purpose. I also think sometimes, you know, at this age, the kids, they're not real good about checking in with you, texting back, you know, that kind of thing. Ever since then, you know, now it's like they kind of understand that, you know, I just need to check in and let my mom know I'm okay. You know, if you don't text back before, they might not have really realized. But now, like, I know my daughter personally now, she's much better at letting me know just checking in where she is and where she's going and that kind of thing. So I do try to look for the positives, and, you know, it really has brought a lot of people closer together, giving us that purpose, those things to work toward.
And there's a lot that's said and unsaid, you know, after the events of February 14th. Has this changed how you're talking and having these conversations with your children? You know, what do you leave unsaid, and what do you talk to them about?
I mean, my daughter happens to be going to a group therapy and individual therapy, so she's definitely realizing ways of expressing, you know, when she's having a bad day, when she hasn't slept the night before, that kind of thing. So learning how to open those lines of communication has been helpful.
I agree. I think that we've definitely gotten closer, and we had a good relationship, but I think now it's like a little different, and she makes sure I love you every time she leaves, every time we get off the phone. So I do think it brings you closer together in a time like this. So,
Jeff, how about for you as you prepare to send your daughter off to the next phase of her life as she graduated from Marjorie Stoneman? There's still that demarcation point that high school really, I think, represents in the life cycle of growing up, of maturation. How are you experiencing that?
Well, I mean, you know, again, funny thing about my daughter is that she's 17 right now. She graduated a year early. She was actually supposed to graduate in 2019. But last summer, she decided that she wanted to advance her learnings and decided she wanted to graduate a year early. It could be a blessing in disguise because now she's going to go off to college now. And I know it could be tough to have to come back and see that. But just watching that maturity of her taking on that role and doing it and still doing it. I mean, she was taking 9 classes through the entire course of the year, and she still found a way to get through it. She still did well on her, you know, scores or her reading. And you get to see, I think the bright part about having your children and going through that whole phase is watching their maturity come about. You know, it's like Roberto said earlier, you know, it was wonderful to see my daughter get vaulted to a level of maturity that you just don't expect. You don't want it to have to grow up so fast, but you're also confident because you get to see that they can mature and that they can become stronger and better, and that it kind of gives you the hope for them when they go off on their own to college and become, you know, start fighting for their own future.
Both groups of parents here, the two dads as fathers of daughters that have just graduated Marjory Stoneman, the two moms along with us here who are the moms of daughters who are going to be part of the 2022 incoming freshman class at Marjory Stoneman, represent these two moments of the journey here. I'm curious for the moms, Kelly and Pam, what would you like to hear or questions you have about entering into this next phase with the two gentlemen here who are just completing that phase at this particular school at this particular time?
You know, I've been listening a lot and how there is more of a closeness, and I guess that gives me a little more reassurance. But also, again, entering the 9th grade, they might not have that same bond as the remaining 3 years of Stoneman Douglas. So they're coming in as really outsiders. Like, freshmen are always, like, you know, outsiders, but now even more so because they might feel a little more like, well, you didn't go through it. You don't know. So that's my concern, that they, as coming in as all freshmen, not just my daughter, but, you know, that class. And I just hope that, you know, it will be welcome. And in the same respect, kind of like, you don't want to forget, but kind of like have a normalcy. I know there's a new normal now, but kind of have the normalcy of being in high school, because that's the experience that we want, even though that this school is now a unique school that shared a tragedy. So that would be my concern.
Yeah. Roberto?
Don't forget that MSD is a great school. I mean, it's almost like a college experience in all the activities, sports, clubs, drama, writing, ROTC, whatever you want to do. So whatever your child wants to do, encourage her to get involved right away. She'll be able to socialize with the people that are there without the subject of that socialization being what happened. So I would say just encourage her to participate as much as she can in extracurriculars. There are lots and lots of clubs out there. She's going to find people like her in 2 days. Because when you go to that club, it's easy to get lost in a sea of 3,300 students. Mm-hmm. But when you go to that club, it's just the 10, 15, 20 that are just like you.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, just to kind of, you know, piggyback off of that a little bit too. One of the things that they did at the ceremony yesterday was, first of all, you've got probably the most amazing principal out of any school in anywhere in South Florida. Mr. Thompson's been absolutely amazing. But aside from that, when they were giving the graduation yesterday, they were talking about how all of these amazing achievements that Douglas was able to do just this past year. They're graduating with the highest overall GPA that they've ever had in the entire school's history. He went through a whole list of these amazing accomplishments. You know, Marjory Stoneman Douglas is going to always be remembered for this, but it should also be remembered for what it was before, which is the great academics, the amazing sports programs, the awesome organizations, and the incredible faculty and staff that they have. And that's how it should always be remembered too.
Kelly, how about for you as the mom of a 20 22 graduating class freshmen. How are you approaching this next 3 months in preparation, but the next 4 years?
Yeah, kind of like rolling with all the new punches, you know, when they changed the backpacks type of thing, you know, advice on how to handle. I feel like they're going to be constantly coming up with something new and like just go with it. Did the parents really come together to help each other out with those changes? Because the kids also need help with those changes. I can just see that happening, that they're going to constantly be coming up with something new to try to make the kids feel safer, but then questioning some of those decisions.
The evolution of school security and school safety that you're likely to experience in very real time, in very real ways, yeah, that perhaps the seniors may not have experienced. Yeah.
I mean, I would say absolutely. I mean, there's no right way to figure this out. Right. You know, when I heard a lot of the students were making comments about the clear backpacks because, or you're going to see my personals, and one was going to fill it up full of Tampax. I mean, kids would be kids. We can't do anything about that, unfortunately. But what I'd explained to my daughter is like, they don't have a solution. They're just trying to find ways towards a solution or something that's going to make it easier or better, and something that'll make people feel more comfortable, more safe. But we don't know what that is, and we have to take, you know, chances on certain things. And you have to explain to the child, you know, you have to explain to your kids that, you know, this is just a stepping stone. This is a process, and you have to be patient with the process and allow them to discover the best that they can in order to come up with the best solution possible to make sure that their safety is never, never, ever going to, you know, be compromised again.
Mm-hmm. I asked my daughter, Lenore, what advice would you give an incoming freshman? And she said, make sure that they understand what PTSD is, that mm-hmm. they research, that you sit down and look at that, what that is, because these kids get startled with things like popping a bag of chips, popping a plastic water bottle, loud noises, knocking on the door. That's real. Mm-hmm. I mean, she broke up when I knocked on her door. So make sure that your child understands what PTSD is, and respect that it hits everyone in a different way, and they all have it. Okay.
How do you find the opportunities on this journey for both the fathers of seniors and the mothers of the incoming freshmen, not to move on, but to move forward, to forge new experiences?
Wow.
Roberto?
That's a tough one, because it's in the kids' hands. I think I've spoken to the parents of some of the activists, the most prominent kids that have been out there in the press and everything, and there's nothing they can do. Us as parents, we cannot do anything to influence how the kids are carrying the plans that they're tracing for themselves. It's actually, when we went to the March for Our Lives the day before, we tried to talk to the kids that were planning it, and they said, no adults allowed. This is our thing. So, yeah, in graduation yesterday, they said, so now it's your opportunity. No, it's not now. It's been so for the past 4 months. And us as adults can just watch and just be close to them. Just make sure you're close to your child, because they always need that home base where they can come and feel safe. Okay.
Yeah, and I've told my daughter's going into nursing. It's something she's been wanting to do. And I said, well, sadly as it seems, this is a tragic event. I said, now if you're going to go on and become a nurse, think about if you're ever faced with a tragedy, you have relation now. And it's something that you can actually build upon and help other people with, because now you know how to control it. And it's not something that's just going to come and shock you all of a sudden. It's something you're not prepared for. You're prepared for it. You have this to live with. You have this to move forward with. And it's something that can benefit her and her profession now as she goes forward too. And I've told her that. I was like, keep this and hold this tight, but know that you could be faced with this at some point, you know, and now you'll know how to react, and you'll know how to keep calm and use that as, you know, use that as a piece of influence in your own profession.
It's hard enough thinking just about how this event is going to influence these kids as they go off to college or what friends they make in high school, but even thinking in terms of a future profession, and how they're going to hold on to this moment for future experience.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this is going to kind of guide kids. It could take them in a totally different path, or it could really reaffirm something that maybe they wanted to do prior. But, you know, they do, even the middle school and elementary school kids, everyone in Parkland was affected, because, I mean, we were all on lockdown. So it's something that's going to have lasting effects for a long time.
How has the activism and the community engagement affected you, Pam? How has that happened in your house? How have you talked about those issues?
Well, I think it comes up because I like to be pretty involved in the community. I've made a few trips here and there since this tragedy, and I do think it's important that I do talk to my children, both of them. I think it's, I don't know how, I can't really say how it's impacted. It has, because it's every day. There's not a day that you forget. I mean, it's this is just the new way of your thinking every single solitary day. I mean, for us, we live like right across the street from the high school, so it was seen. We saw, you know, the sirens going off every day. We saw the media every day, and it was just, you know, something that may have been exciting, like, oh, we're going to be on TV. I remember my daughter, when they had that walkout in the middle school, she comes home, she goes, I really ran away from the media. I didn't want to talk to them, because it was just like something that you would see on a movie. I mean, you know, you would come home, okay, you know, you don't have to talk to them, you don't have to talk to anybody, but it was always in their face. And it has changed in a way that, you know, she might be a little more scared now, where, you know, which is a concern, of course, when I go into the high school. Right now, she won't even go into the bathrooms or anything like that.
Not a day you forget.
That's
what you told us. Not a day you forget. Pam Miller, Kelly Salonia, mothers of two incoming freshmen to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, thank you for sharing your experiences with us. And Jeff Turner and Roberto Munoz, fathers of new Stoneman Douglas graduates, the class of 2018, thank you for spending your time and sharing your thoughts with us as well. And congratulations.
Thank you.
This has been a special program from WLRN News. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, The Journey After Tragedy.
We had help from Alicia Zuckerman, Nadej Green, Jessica Bakeman, Sammy Mack, and Teresa Frontato here at WLRN.
Terrence Shepard is WLRN's news director. Peter Merritt, the program director. Jason Zapka, our technical director and radio operations manager. WLRN's general manager is John Livonia.
I'm Katie Spitalski.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening and supporting WLRN.